Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Is there anything that Frank Schwindel can do to make you go, yep, I'm on board the Frank train. I want to live in the Schwindy City. Is there anything that could make you go?
I don't think I'll ever say
don't
that.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever say Schwindy City.
You might.
No more.
You might.
Hey, Speaks, your Comrex is broken. Please shut it off for the day.
I don't think so.
The pitch, he swings and hits one to deep left field. Look up. This is long gone. A monster home run for Frank Schwindel.
Frank the Tank does the sloppy swish.
To this day, he's still the greatest offensive player I ever saw.
You're not going
to
live in the Schwindy City? You don't think that's going to happen?
I think it's going to be an obvious shirt. I will not be purchasing one.
Cubs win! Cubs win! Frank Schwindel with an RBI infield single, and the Cubs walk it off.
He's hit everywhere he's ever been, and he's still hitting.
His whole life, he's always been the best player on the team he played on. High school, he's going to wind up being the best player on this team.
You mean he's hit everywhere he's ever been?
In the minors.
Meaning the minors, right?
Yes. I mean, Cubs are on a 4-game winning streak, I think, pretty much.
Jump, dump him, dump him, dump him.
Dude, stop.
Frank Schwindel, grand slam Cubs!
He's shaking his head. No, he can't believe it. Let's be frank.
You know,
Frank Schwindel!
To me, I didn't like the guy. But I'll tell you one thing right now. He's the best first baseman that I've ever seen. They asked me a few years ago to put my all-time team down.
And Frank Schwindel!
It was at first base.
One, two, three,
and here we go, Tim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Where the top of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Since that conversation last Friday, Frank Schwindel continues to hit and produce, and since this show has begun, he has won another award, National League Player of the Week.
He is, in fact, the Schwinner of the National League Player of the Week Award. There is one hitter in Major League Baseball with an isolated power over 300 and a strikeout rate under 20%.
Cesar Rodriguez.
No, nope.
That was going to be my guess.
It's Frank Schwindel.
Oh.
He has the best power to strikeout ratio in all of baseball. Let me tell you this, Danny.
Oh, tell me.
Okay.
Matt.
Schwindel has homered in 3 straight games twice this past week. The only Cubs to have multiple 3-game homer streaks in the same season: Rizzo, Soriano, Aramis Ramirez, Moises Alou, Sammy Sosa. Since 2000, that is. So this is the kind of company that Frank Schwindel is keeping. His WAR on the year is higher than Anthony Rizzo's for the whole season. And he's only been in the bigs since the 30th of July. It's Frank Schwindel's world, and you, my friend, are lucky to be living in it.
Championship.
Didn't say that.
Okay. Well,
just said it's his moment.
It is his moment, and I'm happy for Frank Schwindel. I'd love to talk to him
not
on the show.
You're not happy.
I'm looking forward to seeing him tomorrow night at the game, and then I will not see him again until next year because it is football season, my friend. And I wanted to, if one of us presents something on the show, that largely it feels like everybody on the show agrees with, I do like to open it up to people who disagree. Today, Hub disagreed with me, but Hub disagrees with basically everything I say about football. So opening up the phones here at 312-644-6767. I believe that if you follow this through to its logical conclusion, and this being what the Bears have said in their defense of starting Andy Dalton over Justin Fields, it is in the best interest of the Bears, definitely long-term, but I would argue also short-term, for them to lose on Sunday against the Rams. And I know that's weird, and I don't say that lightly, because I believe that everybody in the NFL basically has a shot at a double-digit win season and a playoff berth and a successful year.
And yet here you are openly wanting the Bears to pick up an L on Sunday night.
And so it's
a convenient ask because I think it'll be a shock if they don't pick up the L.
No question. But so if they win, I would say, based on their own words, that delays Justin Fields starting. Would you agree?
If they win, if Dalton plays well.
Certainly if he plays well.
I think they go hand in hand. I think Nagy has shown you the willingness to make a change, even if the team is winning, as he did with Mitch and Foles last year.
I think he's going to be slower to move on from Dalton to Fields than he was from Mitch to Foles because he was so done with Mitch.
That's
and
true.
Dalton is a newer toy and
type of situation.
Newer type of situation, newer experiment, the whole thing. And he firmly believes it. He firmly believes that Pat Mahomes benefited from sitting behind Alex Smith. Andy Reid sat Donovan McNabb. Andy Reid sat Pat Mahomes. Whenever possible, Matt Nagy copies Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe that this is sinister. Like, I believe that Matt Nagy...
No, he genuinely thinks he's doing the right thing here.
By Justin Fields, by doing it this way. I genuinely believe he's doing it the wrong way. My evidence is modern football, Justin Herbert, Deshaun Watson, teams that talk themselves into, we got to start the veteran, we got to start Tom Savage. Mm-hmm. Then they're like, oh, wait, we got Deshaun Watson, let's try it out. Or, hey, we got to start the veteran. Let's start Tyrod Taylor. Then the doctor collapses the lung. They play Justin Herbert, and he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year and sets the NFL touchdown record. But if they lose, can we play what Pace said again, Tanny? Ryan Pace said it pretty damn clearly at what they hope is the plan or the justification for the plan and how he hopes this season plays out.
When you brought in Justin, what we heard was that you guys were going to know when Justin's ready. By all indications, it seems that you're confident in where Justin is. Is it wrong to think this seems to be setting up for whenever Andy isn't ready? Like, is it setting him up to fail in this spot?
You know, I think we'll know when we know. You know, right now, I think we have a positive outlook. That positive outlook goes off of what we've seen here every day with Andy. And that's Andy going to be leading our offense as Justin's progressing at the right rate. You know, our goal all along, guys, has been to win games with Andy and look over on that other field and see and look at this guy we got right here. Look at the future of this franchise that we have right here. That's the goal, and we haven't changed from that.
Our goal is to win games with Andy and then look over here and see Justin progressing. I believe their goal should be to figure out, use this season to figure out what they have in Justin Fields.
But they've got to say they're trying to win as well. Man, they have to be trying to win.
But it seems to me like it has been removed from the equation, the possibility that you could win with Justin Fields.
I think you're more likely to win with Justin Fields.
As do I.
If they were to tweak the offense, instead of Matt Nagy trying to fit somebody into his offense, if they were to tweak it around Justin Fields like Daryl Bevel, your face is a mess, like Daryl Bevel did for Russell Wilson in Seattle in 2012. If they did that for Fields, I think they'd win. I think they could win a bunch of games.
Answer this question for me then, both of you guys. If the Bears truly think, like you're saying, that they have a better chance to win with Justin Fields.
No,
they're saying they've got a better chance to win with Andy Dalton,
because,
aren't they?
Yeah, they're saying they've got a better chance to win with Andy Dalton because they're going to run Matt Nagy's offense. That's the problem.
What's
here.
Your question?
Which Manley called us.
The way Spiegs worded it, I thought he was saying, I believe the Bears actually think that they have a better chance of Justin Fields. So, okay, so hypothetically, if the Bears thought that, what would... Because they do. They 100% in their minds know, in their gut, Justin Fields gives us a better chance to win these games. So what the hell?
I don't think they do. I think I think just like Manalee said to us a couple weeks ago that this is about Nagy's offense. David Hall wrote a great column today on the Scores website about how Nagy still believes that his offense is going to be the star of the team. That it's, oh, and look at Matt's geniusness, and now that Fields is fitting in. That's not how it works in the NFL. You end up having the player be the star, and you tweak your system around him.
Correct. And I think that Justin Fields can run Matt Nagy's offense. I think Matt Nagy will build his system around him. I think Fields is going to play early, and I think he's going to be starting sooner than later because I do think the Bears are going to lose games to teams that are better than them, and their offensive line will be suspect, and their secondary will be suspect, and Andy Dalton is below average, and this is going to take care of itself sooner than later. But the Bears are setting it up like we hope that Fields sits all year. We win 9, 10, 11 games with Andy Dalton, make the playoffs with Dalton, and then see what happens. Man, did last year or 2018, that playoff, did it feel like any sort of real accomplishment? Making the playoffs and losing in the first round with a quarterback who wasn't the future? I know 2018 gave you a little hope because it was Mitch's first year under Nagy, the defense was the best in the NFL and all of that, but a first-round playoff exit in the NFL is...
It's funny you say that.
It doesn't mean anything.
When the White Sox were in rain delay on Friday night, they replayed the hanging with hurt, Frank Thomas talking to Matt Nagy, and seeing him on video relive that, he seemed pretty damn happy to have two playoff appearances in his first 3 years.
Sure, because it looks good on the resume when you're in there pleading for your job. It looks really good.
Yeah, and he did it with bottom five quarterback play in the league.
Which was partially his fault.
Yeah.
That answers your question then. Yes, they do think it's an accomplishment.
Right. But do any of you?
No,
like,
of course
like,
not.
Do fans? Like that's what surprises me about some of the pushback. Like I asked the poll question 2 weeks ago. 75% agreed with me. Would you rather the Bears win 6 games, Justin Fields start 13 of them, and he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year? Or would you rather have the Bears win 10 games, go to the playoffs and lose, but Dalton starts all year? 6,000 people voted in the poll. 1,500 people said they would choose the Dalton scenario, which to me, it's like, wait, so you'd go the whole year without learning what you have in Justin Fields to lose in the playoffs again to just win 4 extra regular season football games? Like, people, man, I've seen that before.
People like their time on the couch.
Yeah,
they really do. They really enjoy having a team win some games and feel good and be able to have some bragging rights against their neighbors if they beat somebody of consequence within the division. It's about that for some people.
But I promise you, like if the Chargers last year, if Bosa doesn't get hurt and Derwin James doesn't get hurt, but Justin Herbert plays instead of Tyrod Taylor, that's a playoff team. It's not like Justin, because Hub's like, there's so much history of the young guys. Like the only examples you have of young quarterbacks winning big are Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson. And that's not, it is true in the sense that for the vast majority of NFL history, the young guys haven't played right away, but or the guys that did played on awful teams.
Look, this is the larger point that rests behind your thought process and a lot of people's thought process. As you look over the last 10 years, that's just not true anymore. Lamar Jackson wins MVP in his second year. Pat Mahomes wins MVP in his second year. Josh Allen is terrific and transforms a Bills franchise before he signs that first deal. Not to mention Russell Wilson over the course of the last decade, and Justin Herbert last year, and Baker Mayfield, even though it was bumpy and it took a little while. How about Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah.
It's like there's a lot of examples. If you're good, you're going to show out early, especially if your coach is malleable with what you can actually do.
So to me, that leads me to, all right, if they want to play Dalton every game, I want them to lose so that they play Fields early and often. A lot of people disagree. Let's start in normal. Wesley, thanks for calling Parkins and Spiegel. You're on the Score.
Hey, so I just want to play devil's advocate. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I have a question. It's kind of a poll that you put out on Twitter. So obviously 10 wins and a playoff loss is not good enough for you, and I agree with you. But my question is how good would they have to do for you guys to say, you know what, maybe Nagy did see something that we didn't see and we were wrong? Would it be like 10 wins and a playoff win? Something crazy like 11, 12 wins and a playoff win, 2 playoff wins? Where is where does the dial have to go for you to say, you know what, maybe we were wrong?
This is assuming Dalton plays all year in your scenario?
Yeah, which nobody believes is going to happen, but I'm just saying, hypothetically crazy, yeah, that happens, and they get there and they accomplish that. How far does that have to go before? And this is just for transparency's sake. I'll be the reporter. You guys can be the politician. Let's throw the marker down now before the season starts.
That's fair.
That way, if you do find yourself rooting for Dalton and the Bears again,
I mean, yeah, you're right. So, right. If I take it to the logical conclusion the other way, I should do it on the front end. NFC Championship game appearance, like. You've got to win multiple playoff games in order, because to me, Wesley, it would be criminal to go into 2022, Andy Dalton isn't under contract, and we don't know if Justin Fields is good. Like, that would just be a ludicrous thing to do. Like, the Chargers, I keep using them as an example because I think it's a pretty good allegory here. They spent this offseason building around Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
They signed a center in free agency in Corey Linsley.
Building the system around him too.
Right. They hired a coach in his image, right? They sign a center like for him. So if you don't figure out what you have in Fields this year, next offseason is going to be largely guesswork. And so you'd have to accomplish something, I'd say, pretty damn significant this year to delay a year of Justin Fields' rookie contract.
So that Kansas City Chiefs season, when Alex Smith started all games except week 17,
yep.
They then go to the playoffs and lose to Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans.
Yep.
And overall, do Kansas City fans feel like that was a wasted year, a lost year? Probably not.
Well, they don't only because
it was a fun year and they won a lot of games. They went 10-6.
And because Pat Mahomes is pocket aces. You know what I mean? Like, he's the best player in football. He won an MVP. They've won a Super Bowl. Like, no one can argue against the process for how it worked out with Pat Mahomes.
Is there a better hand though than if you got two cards? Is there a better hand than two aces?
No, no.
Whereas if there was,
that's the one.
Some people would say that I am.
Yeah. But I'll say that, well, the score of that game was what, 21-18?
It was 21-18.
Is that right?
22-21.
22-21. Mm-hmm. All right, my bad. Sorry, Pat. We both had bad memory there. Mm. I led you astray. Don't you think they would have won that game if they would have started Pat Mahomes?
Very possibly.
Like, based on what he saw that he actually was, it is possible that that team would have actually done more if they would have played Pat Mahomes instead of Alex Smith. You have to at least be open to the possibility.
I don't know. Mariota was pretty good that day. Actually, it was just okay.
And Matt Nagy abandoned the running game.
Yes, he did.
The supposed play caller in that
game.
That's
the one.
With Kareem Hunt. Yes.
He bailed on the run.
Richie, you're on the score. What's up, Richie?
Richie.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's good, Richie.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling.
All right. Hey, I think Nagy's offense is going to be the dilemma here with the tackles being turnstiles. I think Dalton's going to be a statue. And his, you know, I just don't think he's going to last past the first couple games getting hit the way he's going to get hit, and they're going to have to bring Fields in with his legs, you know. So I think Fields is going to get in early. But I disagree, Danny. I think wins are the most important thing, you know. You got to get all them wins. There's only 17 games.
It'll take care of itself? If they win, as long as Dalton is bad or you think maybe even gets hurt, it takes care of itself that way in your mind?
I think he's not. I don't think it's going to be a decision made by the coaches. I think somebody's going to get injured. It's going to be dangerous. Think about how they're going to be. They're going to be turnstiles.
Well, and Richie,
I'm
I appreciate.
The same age.
Yeah, listen, man, I appreciate the call. I can root against the Bears to win on something that I like get in my head to be like a logical, it's for the good of the team outcome. I can't root for Andy Dalton to be injured. You know, in terms of like actual rooting interest going into the game.
There's a lot of people out there doing it.
No, I know.
Texter here. Thank God the Bears open on the road because we won't have to hear all the cheering accompanied by the national crew calling the Bears fans disgusting when Aaron Donald breaks Dalton in two and he's laying on the field writhing in pain. They're mentally sick. Ought to get themselves thrown out of the stadium. Jim Mora and Wade Wilson.
Wait, what if Bear Man's there? Like, they find the one Bear fan there. There's Bear Man.
Yeah!
Yeah, he wouldn't do that. He's a class act.
Yeah, don't.
The Ditka sweater guy?
Yes. There may be a lot of Bears fans at that game.
The Ditka sweater guy? in L.A.? All those young actor wannabes who are like, I know what I'll do. I'll dress up as Ditka. That's what I'll do. Put on
that'll
a sweater.
Get me on TV.
I'll chew some gum. I'll become...
Throw it at you?
Yeah, I'll throw it at people. This is great.
It'll be my big break.
That's how I got that part.
But there's going to be a lot of booze for Andy Dalton in L.A. from Bears fans.
After the game, you mean when he's really hurt, he's going to drink a lot of booze?
No, booing. Sorry. I was saying boo-earns.
Sorry, I'm all caught up here in the Schwindy City.
Okay, yeah. I'm derailing your baseball conversation yet again. I hate it when I do that.
Some texters disagreeing with you. This doesn't mean that Fields would succeed. The assumption that he will is insane to me. It's illogical. I want to see Fields like every Bears fan does, but the assumption of his greatness is crazy. Rushing him out there so we can see the new toy isn't good enough reason. What's the rush? It's not like he's going to sit for three seasons. He'll be starting sometime this year. Is Justin Fields going to be harmed that much by not being the starter from game one? Really? Come on!
It's not about that. Like, I believe that he gives them a better chance to beat the Rams. So... You know, so it's not about, like, if Justin Fields starts 11 games this year, mm-hmm. I don't think it stunts his development the extra six games, but I think it stunts the 2021 Bears.
Where's Darrell Bevell? I want to talk to him about what he did with Russell Wilson. I think he's down there with Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, isn't he? I think he's Trevor Lawrence's guy for Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest with you, where he's employed right now.
Long former Wisconsin quarterback, Wisconsin OC, Brett Favre OC in Green Bay. Darrell Bevell, he tweaked it. He looked at it. He said, you know what? Our offensive line is not great. We got this rookie quarterback. He can really run.
Jacksonville, yeah.
Jacksonville, right? Let's do some zone reads. Let's get creative. How about we win some games? How about it, Matt?
But I will say, if you want a little assurance, because I got to say, it did make me feel better. One of the smartest coaches and minds in all of football weighed in on Justin Fields ahead of this Bears-Rams game. You'll hear it coming up next on The Score.
We got to get ready for these guys now. They got a hell of a young coach. He's an offensive-minded guy. He's coming here to wreck your ass.
That's John Gruden on Sean McVay. Bottom of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Sean McVay is the coach of the Rams. The Bears are playing the Rams. We have asked many guests on this show, Hub Arkish, Dave Wanstead, Pat Manley. Okay, so they're not starting Justin Fields. We disagree, but he is going to be active. He is going to be the number two. So is Matt Nagy going to play him? We've gotten varying answers on that, but everybody kind of seems to be like, yeah, that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
right? Hub said he'd be crazy not to. Wani said red zone package.
Yeah, Wani was first openly thinking that Nagy might even be starting him out of the, you know, just coming out of nowhere to do that, just because Wani clearly thinks he ought to be playing.
Right, and then Pat Manley said, you know, he doesn't like when it's, the first three drives are Dalton's, and then the fourth is Fields. But if you did it in certain plays, certain situations, he thought that it could work. We've asked all those three experts about it. But today, Sean McVay was asked if he thinks Justin Fields is going to get into the game.
I think it'd be naive for us not to prepare for, you know, them to be able to utilize him in some form or fashion. But Andy's a winning quarterback in this league, does a great job. You know, I really have seen a lot of film of Andy, even going back to when Jay Gruden was his coordinator at Cincinnati. So very familiar with what a really good quarterback he is. He does a great job, accurate anticipation, recognizes the looks defensively, can straighten up protection. So Andy Dalton's a really good quarterback, and it'll be a great challenge. And then you see the ways that Justin, you know, made a lot of plays going back to his career at Ohio State, what he showed in the preseason. And so I think you got to be ready for either or, but it's going to be a challenge for sure.
If McVay thinks they'd be crazy not to prep for Justin Fields and he's active, it'd be insane for them not to play him, right? Like, he's playing. He's playing Sunday
gonna
night.
Play. He's going to play some on Sunday night.
I do too.
Assuming they get in the red zone, which would be a nice touch.
I hope they get in the red zone.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, maybe it's Maybe it's something else.
I think it's half and half, something like that. Alternating series.
I don't think it'll be that, but is it possible that Justin Fields is out there in a two quarterback formation where he motions into the backfield maybe there's a trick play and he throws it deep?
Sure. Sure, that's entirely possible.
Matt Nagy gets 2018 cute.
Some of your Antoine Randall stuff. Yeah,
maybe he'll play left tackle.
Yeah. Get crazy.
Ah, the second quarterback on this play is fifth round pick Larry Borum. They'll never see that coming. There you go. Guy's 6'8", 305. Playing quarterback.
God, what if Matt Nagy puts Justin Fields back at punt returner? He gets hurt.
Oh, no. See, that's the thing. It's like any scenario that we're talking about where he gets used a fair amount, one of my reactions is going to be like, wow, what a waste of training camp. All the reps he could have actually, if you're going to use him, if you're really going to use him, then let him get reps with the people that matter. Let him play more games with the people that matter.
Yeah, of course.
So it's like the whole thing feels like some crazy, senseless thing to get a mild advantage on a Sunday night on the road when you're probably going to get your ass kicked anyway.
Yeah. When the coach sees it coming anyway, because of course it's logical, and he's like, yeah, of course I'm going to be preparing for it.
Right.
Why would I not?
You're getting nothing done. Except wasting all of our time in August.
It's possible that Justin Fields is getting a ton of reps with the ones right now.
That is possible.
When
that's
not
the thing.
Open to the media.
Things have gotten private here.
Yes.
I know they just had a forced 3 days off, which is new this year in the collective bargaining agreement after the last preseason game. There's a few days off, but there's a whole bunch of private practices here where anything could be taking place. And Nagy piling on the cuteness. This is when you let your mind wander.
That's exciting.
So much hope trafficking going on for people amongst themselves. I was listening to Brad Biggs this morning with Mully and Haw, and Mully said, Brad, is it possible that they're going to come out and just run the ball a lot because that would be sensible to do against this team? And, you know, they had success at the end of last year with all that stuff. And Brad was like, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. You know, he said that they've got to play complementary football. And for him just to mention that is kind of leaning towards a run. And David Haw had to step in and say, guys, he's not going to do that.
Yeah.
That's not what this guy does. That's not what Matt Nagy is.
I can promise you that's not going to happen.
That's the thing. It's like Mully and Biggsy were like, and I get it. They're openly hoping and trying to find some way where it made sense. Just like you are trying to find some way where it makes sense for a whole big pile of Fields on Sunday night. And it's like Haw and others, me, I'm like, you're telling you, no. They were locked into this stupid-ass plan, and they're going to do it. And Nagy's going to throw the ball way more than he runs the ball because that's just what he does and he wants to do.
Now, last year, at the end of the season, David Montgomery had three consecutive games with massive rushing attempt numbers.
Sure did.
32 carries against Minnesota in a win, where he had 146 rushing yards and two touchdowns.
Those last six games, they averaged 152 yards per game on the ground.
Then he had 23 carries for 95 yards and a touchdown against the Jaguars in a win.
And it sure fit the new personnel of Mustafer and Whitey Coathair.
Yes.
Excuse me, Rustafer and Whitey Coathair.
Thank you.
The Whitey Coathair.
Max Rustafer.
Yes.
And then 22 carries in the Week 17 loss to the Packers for a paltry 3.1 yards per carry. But still, 22 carries a game. It's weird. I just want them to be effective running the ball, but still pass way more than they run. Like, I'm fine with 58% pass, 42% run.
Assuming they're good at passing it.
Yeah.
If Fields was there, you'd want that.
Yeah.
With Dalton,
I want them to do whatever it takes for them to lose so that they eventually start playing Justin
Fields. Well, I mean, if you're actually trying to win, you'd want them to run the ball a lot with Dalton. That's what you'd want them to do.
Yeah. Probably.
Keep the Rams off the field, try to attack that defense, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, but so Haw is right. It won't be the sustainable thing, but they might do it occasionally. Like, there will be a game or two this year where we come in on a Bears Monday and we're like, wow, Matt Nagy running the ball, getting the run, understanding. Because Matt Nagy would say he knows. He would say, I was there in 2017 when Kareem Hunt led the NFL in rushing. He'd say, I'd seen a team with Jamal Charles and what that can do for a quarterback in the play action game.
Mm-hmm.
I could, you know, he'd say, I'm not an idiot, right? Like he'll give you the game occasionally, but it won't be consistent. And it's not what he wants to do.
It's not what he wants
to do.
I think he'd be happier, you know. I don't want to say he'd be happier losing playing his offense than winning playing that way, but he really doesn't like playing that way.
My understanding of it, of how these people talk about this offense, is that your ceiling is just lower.
Right.
Your offensive ceiling is just lower.
And I think that might be true.
I think it is true.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it is true. Your offensive ceiling is lower if you are a run first, run last team.
And that's why in Seattle, even though Marshawn Lynch and Russ Wilson were running great like that, they eventually opened it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because you have to. If you're aiming higher, you have to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I get it.
And so so it might happen for a game. It might happen for a month, but it is not going to be. If Matt Nagy is here and he is successful and he is winning, it will not be because the Bears are a top running team in the NFL.
Hey, Danny, I know you think of me as a baseball guy, and of course I am. But when I was a kid, one of the athletic dreams that I had was being a running back. And every time they handed me the ball, I ran for a touchdown.
It's a great dream.
Like anywhere. If I'm on the 5-yard touchdown. If we're on the our own 30, 70-yard touchdown. I was just that good. I was that fast. And I used to take the Nerf football and run from my bedroom on one side of the house into the living room, sometimes put on a juke.
Spin moves, hurdles,
juke move, go around into the kitchen, then into the den, and end up diving onto the couch into the end zone. And usually I was pretending to be Earl Campbell.
Makes sense.
Sometimes, depending on what was going on, freshman sensation Herschel Walker of Georgia football. That dude was great. And the first guy that I just because I thought his name was cool was Sam the Bam Cunningham, who just died today from USC.
Old.
I am old.
Yeah.
He was at USC in the early 70s, and then he was a New England Patriot for a while.
Yeah.
It's Randall Cunningham's older brother, Sam the Bam Cunningham. But I don't think I ever really saw Sam play, but his name was The Bam.
It's a great name.
Oh, come
it's a great on, nickname.
Dude. Come
it's
on.
His nickname, right? It wasn't his actual name.
I don't know that to be sure.
But yeah, I assume this anecdote is leading to when Matt Nagy first fell in love with football, he did not pretend to be a running back in the living room.
Actually, I just keep seeing highlights of Sam the Bam Cunningham, who died today, the former USC running back.
R.I.P.
Yes, R.I.P. Sam the Bam Cunningham. But did you ever... Did you ever run with a football around the house when you were a kid?
Yeah, I mean,
score touchdowns.
Emmitt Smith would be one for me in my youth. Then, of course, the fadeaway, you know, shooting trash into the trash can.
Yes,
Michael Jordan, etc.
Tanny, I know you're a baseball guy, but did you run around the house with a Nerf football or the like, and dive into the couch to get into the end zone?
Yeah, I'm a defensive guy first, my friend. My first football memories was like running around in a Mike Singletary little jersey, but definitely diving around and over the couch and stuff like that. But to make a tackle, you know, for a loss, not to score a touchdown.
TFL. Wow, look at that. Such a team guy.
Yeah, of course. He's always has been, always will be.
Uh-huh.
Why do you hate defense?
It's about time of possession and controlling the line of scrimmage.
Shane, were you carrying a football around the house at all? Do you ever have a moment like that?
No, I had a Tiki Barber jersey, though, that I wore pretty often.
Mm.
I got it on sale at Champs. It came like 50% off at the Woodfield Mall when you'd buy two visors. So I had a Notre Dame visor, a Seattle Mariners visor, and a Tiki Barber jersey that I got 50% off the day after Christmas.
Number 21 New York
Giants jersey?
Number 21
blue New York Giants jersey.
That's pretty cool.
I love Tiki Barber. Think he's a bad radio host.
Still a big fan. Player. What do you do when a sports minute comes on?
Now I have a Tierney jersey.
Perfect.
I have a DA. I have a Damon Amendolara jersey.
Nice.
Myself.
I'm Damon Amendolara.
DA.
I love that guy. Going to get a little personal with you guys as we are wont to do on the radio next on The Score. Welcome back. It's Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. And I think whatever community we've built around this show, and it's a community that I cherish and I know you appreciate deeply as well.
Mob.
Yeah, the mob. You know, it's the 400 or so people that hang out in the Twitch chat every single day during the show. It's the texters. It's the silent vast majority of you that do not interact in that way, but you're with us and you see us at ball games and you say thank you for helping you pass the day.
Yeah, it's powerful when you meet somebody who you've never interacted with because that's not how they roll, but you find out that they've been listening every day, like the guys I met in Minnesota, dude who knew us very, very well.
And I know you've experienced this like I have. Sometimes we forget that there are people on the other side of this microphone that are listening. And that is not because we do not try to respect the listener, but it's like we are four friends hanging out, doing a show, trying to be entertaining. I mean, we share a lot, right? People know my son's name. They know your son's name. They know about our lives. They know about our wins and our losses, our trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you meet someone out in the public and they know a lot about you and you know nothing about them. And it's just kind of the way of the medium.
It's
right?
A unique one-way relationship on the surface of it anyway.
Right, but it's a very personal connection.
Absolutely.
And so people feel like they know you. And it's why I always love radio, no matter whatever happens in my career. I will always love radio more than anything else because it is personal. And I have shared over the last year plus the single hardest thing that's ever happened to me, which has been my brother's diagnosis with glioblastoma. If anyone does not know, that's my brother Brad. He is my older brother. He is 50 years old, technically my half brother from my dad's first marriage, but he's my brother. He's best man in my wedding, my only brother, one of my best friends in the world, the best person I've ever met. Has two kids, and if you don't know what glioblastoma is, it is terminal brain cancer. It's the brain cancer that Joe Biden's son passed away from, Beau Biden. It's the brain cancer that John McCain passed away from. It's just a brutal, brutal thing. And, you know, we helped him raise Brad raise some money, and he came in, and he told his story, and he had the surgery, and so he had this first tumor removed, and he went through chemo and radiation. And he's fighting this thing like hell, but this cancer is, unfortunately, undefeated and a super aggressive form of cancer. And some people noticed, other people did not, and it's totally fine. But like a couple weeks back at this point, I left the show in the middle of the show. I did not announce it. I had to. Brad gets scanned every couple of months, and I told you guys before the show that it was a scan day, and normally we would have found out around 1 o'clock what the results were, and that day we were not finding out what the results were, which kind of had my antenna up that maybe there was some bad news, and there was, and so I found out about 4 o'clock that there was what's called a recurrence. There's a new tumor for Brad, and he has started a new aggressive treatment. The problem with this tumor is it's in an inoperable location, and it's, you know, so it's bad. It's bad.
What kind of treatment is he doing?
It's a phase 2 clinical trial. It's a different type of chemotherapy that in theory will target this specific spot. He still is wearing that Optune thing that I told you about, the electrodes on his head. He has them in a new place for where this tumor site is to hopefully.
I think that's a good look.
Yeah,
myself.
I know you do. I know you do. And
has he done experimental stuff too? I'm sure he's looked into.
He's
all of
tried.
Them.
You know, he's tried different things, and sometimes when you're there's a whole sort of you can do a clinical trial, and then if you fail out of it or whatever the case may be, you have to kind of be doing it regimentedly. But so yes, he has tried holistic medicine. He takes a bunch of different vitamins and different things like that. But so it's back, and it's back in a bad spot, and it's not great. But I haven't shared this yet because Brad hadn't shared it yet, but Brad shared it on Facebook, and he's talked about it with the whole family now and his friends and all of that. And so, like I said, it's been a couple of weeks since we got this news. But so I'm out of town. I'm in Kansas City this weekend. And on Twitter, because of course I'm on vacation, I can't stay off Twitter.
Okay, Shane.
I know. I'm not posting all the time. But I see that Brad has sent out a tweet. And it's him panting after he got done with a run, and this was what he shared with the internet.
Hey, dear friends, Brad here. I want to thank you for all your words, motivation, and support. And I want to tell you something. I know I have a reoccurrence, but today's my 15-month anniversary of being diagnosed with GBM. And I have to tell you, I'm one badass who's going to push this disease into the corner it came out of, and I'm going to do my best to beat it. I am motivated by all of you, and I just went for the first time in 15 months. I just did a 5K run, and yeah, I'm gassed, but I feel great. Between running now and the Peloton and the plans I'm on through the Malnati Brain Tumor Institute and the support from the Brain Tumor Network and the Sontag Foundation, I have a lot of wind in my sail, and I'm ready. I'm ready to fight this thing. I love all of you. Thank you for respecting the journey. Peace and love.
I just don't understand how he can be so positive and brave and strong. And I couldn't run a 5K right now, and I'm not going through chemo and brain cancer and had brain surgery a year ago.
I'd probably fall off a Peloton.
Yeah, right. He's just...
It's a badass.
An amazing person and a total badass. And
he's always been that kind of guy, right?
Always been that guy.
And he's still that guy.
Everybody loves him. This thing has not shaken his spirit in any way. He's the best.
Anybody who doesn't know, he was in here and we had a lovely visit with him, 6 weeks ago? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. And he's just the best. And so... just know that that is going on in my life and my family's life and his life, and it's really tough and it's awful news, but we're still holding out hope for this experimental medicine and for Brad to be one of one and a long-term survivor and trying to be as positive as we possibly can be. And that dude took that medicine and it kicked his butt for like 24, 30 hours, and then 2 days later, he ran a 5K. He's just insane.
That's great.
He's just doing everything in his power, you know, to keep being the best person that any of us know and be the best dad to his kids. And I love him so damn much. And so, yeah, that's what's going on. So if you can, spare a thought for my brother Brad, and he's fighting this thing with everything he's got.
Well, we got your back as your showmates and your friends, and... do whatever you need to do to support him and be strong for your family. And we got Brad's back. He's a beautiful guy. So nice to have met him, even under these circumstances, and know him a little bit as he battles his ass off.
Yeah, man.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So hope to be watching some football with him this weekend. And
Packers fan, which is kind of a problem.
He's got, you know, everyone's got a flaw, you know, and that's his. Frankly,
you know what? I'm glad he doesn't have to watch Jordan Love too much.
That's the thing. If Rodgers would have left, and then he's got to experience terrible quarterback play for like the first time in his adult life,
he doesn't deserve it.
He doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Nice little run for his teams right now, though.
You think?
The
Bucks.
By the way, yeah, the Bucks. Like, his best friend is Craig Counsell, and the Brewers are absolutely rolling. And Aaron Rodgers.
His best friend is Craig Counsell.
Yeah, one of his
best friends.
Yeah, one of his best friends. His
good
whole
manager.
Life. Yeah, yeah, good manager.
Can't help but notice he hasn't been on the show.
Yeah, well, that is...
Come on, Brad.
He looked like a weirdo when his batting stance.
Yeah.
Don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Put your bat down a little lower, man.
He held the bat high. He doesn't hit anymore. He's a really good manager for another team.
It's true.
Whatever.
It's true. It's,
Come on, Brad. Help out the show.
That's not on Brad. That's it's on Craig, frankly.
Okay.
If I'm being totally honest, the question has been asked. I have asked. I can show you the text between me and Craig. He passes every single time. Good guy. But, yeah, that's that's
fine. I wouldn't want to talk to us either.
Yeah, exactly. It's very true.
Keep on keeping on, Brad. We got you out here, man.
Love you, Brad. Anyway, thank you to Habarkish. Thank you to Steve Stone. Thank you for indulging me in the personal, in the serious, and the life. RIP to my guy, Michael K. Williams. I still can't believe that news is real. And tonight, two more sleeps until NFL football. We can stop thinking about the Schwindy City.
Why would we stop?
Well,
rookie of the month? player of the week.
It's true.
Going for eight straight tonight right here on The Score if they squeeze it in.
Coming up right now with Zach Zabin's pregame show. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell, runs our Twitch chat. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Have a good draft tonight.
Thank
I will
you,
try.
Sir. You too.
As well. Yep. Max League drafts tonight. So for Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
That's why I like to listen to sports radio, because it's very emotional. It's very idiotic. It's all the flaws in human thinking come out.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.